Thoughts on Mark. Mark chapter 8, verses 34 to 38. I've been looking at this statement of Christ, this addressing the crowd, and I've been looking at this over a few discourses, and this is the concluding discourse. And the title for this is, Which Is It? What we are seeing is that there are two lives, and it's either or. And we must choose. We must come to a decision about it. And this really is the crux of it. This is the punchline. This is the climax of the whole thing. Why was Jesus saying this? He wasn't just giving information. He wasn't just passing on news, as it were. No, this is what he was calling for a decision. This is what he was doing, and this is what I must do. This is what preachers must do. A man once said to me, he said, you always bring people to the crunch, do you? He said it by way of criticism. Well, that was a commendation as far as I can see. This is what we should be doing as preachers. Christ does it here. Now, how does he do it? Well, he does it by statement, yes. But he does it by question. Okay, verse 36. What good is it for a man to gain the whole world, yet forfeit his soul? What good is it? No, no, I'm asking you, he says. And so am I asking you, my friend. What good is it if a man gains the whole world and yet loses his own soul? What if he gets this whole world, this life, but he goes into hell and damnation? What good is it? What will his money do, his travel do, his possessions do, his fine mansion or whatever? What good will it do? Or, at verse 37, what can a man give in exchange for his soul? What will you give in exchange for your soul? What is your soul worth to you? What is your eternity worth to you? You know the choice. You know the score. It's now or eternity, material or spiritual, it's world or eternal glory. You know the outlook. You know what's being said here. I respectfully, but definitely and clearly ask you to answer Christ's questions. What good is it if you gain the whole world and yet you lose your soul? What will you give? If you've got any sense, there's nothing you can give in exchange for your soul. And there's two ifs here. If anyone would come after me. That's verse 34, and then 38. If anyone is ashamed of me, there's some ifs here. How will you answer these ifs? Which is it? Are you ashamed of Christ? Will you trust Christ? Will you believe Christ, obey Christ, love Christ, follow Christ, serve Christ? You see? And then you get a statement of fact. For whoever wants to lose his life, verse 35, whoever wants to save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for me and for the gospel will save it. You see, the believer doesn't lose. The believer gains eternity. And even in this life, too, even in this life, there is nothing to compare to the gospel life. Now, the world knows this, that there's a fading part to this life. Shakespeare said, the seven ages of man, sans teeth, sans everything, in the end he came to it. Job spoke about it. Naked I came into the world, and naked I will go out. Ecclesiastes 12. Clouds come back after rain. This is what the believer says, though. Therefore we do not lose heart. Though outwardly we are wasting away, yet inwardly we are being renewed day by day. The outward is perishing, this life will come to nothing, but inwardly our soul, for our light and momentary troubles, are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. So we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but on what is unseen. For what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. Moses, Deuteronomy 30, verses 15 to 20, said, I have set before you life and death. That was under the old covenant. Christ is setting before you life and death. Moses said to Israel, choose life, he said, choose life. And I urge you to choose life too. Romans 2, 5 to 9. Immortality with God or immortality in destruction. You cannot have both. Which will it be? Which will it be? Choose this day whom you will serve. As for me, can you say that? I will serve the Lord. Who will leave the world's side? Who will come to Christ?